I'd like to speak today on this subject, what to do in times of panic. I was in Lagos a few days ago, and a friend of mine came to me and said, "Archbishop, we know you are a man of prayer. Are you aware that Nigerian Airways has been seized in London and all passengers grounded, and that the British Caledonia Airways that brought your wife has been impounded, seized by the federal government?" My feet shook, and in great amazement, I said, "Father, it is good she got out of that plane before it was seized. But Lord, what about all those people, 300 and something passengers that were going to go by that aircraft?" I bowed my head and I prayed. And I said, "God, this time, let your peace prevail in their hearts." And there, the text I want to read today, that I've preached on and preached with for many years, came to my heart. The servant of Elisha shouted, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" Panicking is a state of lack of confidence. When you don't believe that God can handle an issue in your life better than you, you panic. When you don't believe in your life, that the life you are living is not your own, but God's own, you panic. When hell is threatened by hell, you panic. When suddenly you are issuing checks, and nothing is put back to that account, and suddenly statement of account is come to you, out of 10,000 deposits, you are left with 10 naira. You begin to say, "I hope they have not stolen from this my money." You know, there are many devils in the bank. I hope these cashiers and treasurers haven't done something about my account. When heavy rain is falling and you are not sure of the roof on top of your house, and the wind begins to come and some zinc begins to raise and wave hallelujah on top of your house, one at the back just saying, "Bang, bang, bang, to God be the glory." And three in the front raise their head up. And behold, it's the afternoon. If it's in the night, you say, "Lord, it's okay." But in the afternoon, you raise your head. Two zinc raised up, lifted here. Three lifted here. Out of 25 rows in the front. Many times you say to yourself, "I hope this house is not going to be carried from this place to the other man's compound." You panic. Above all, you panic when you are no more sure your faith is standing on the promises of God. And I want to discuss with you today, those of you on air, Ogun State, Lagos State, or your state, Bauchi, Jos, Anambra, Imo, Cross River, and River State, Bendel, how to handle panicking situation brought about through negative thinking. I said to a pastor a few days ago, it's unfortunate that when many things happen against us, we look for someone to put it upon. And in the custom here, people quickly say, "Maybe witches are responsible. Maybe wizards are responsible. There's no witch as powerful as negative thinking, and no wizard as strong as unbelief. These two areas of life, in your life, if they can be avoided, all witches and wizards in the whole world may assemble together, but there can be one assurance in your heart. If God be for me, no one can be against me. I want to hear somebody say amen. Amen. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? In the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, an event took place. Jesus was in a boat, and the Bible said, wind blew the boat vehemently, mysteriously. The apostles, the men expected to, in a few weeks' time or a few months' time, turn the world upside down, cast out devil, heal the sick. The same people that Jesus sent with the 70s in Matthew 10 and gave them power and authority and said, go into any city you enter, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devil, freely you have received, freely give. They went, the Bible said, they came back dancing, jumping, saying, Lord, even in thy name, the devils, we are subject to our voices. These same people went out with Jesus in their boat, in the middle of the sea. The devil came through winds, through the wave of the water. Instead of them to do what they did not too long ago, the weakest man in Christianity is a man that don't know what to do when he or she ought to have found out what to do. Here was a servant of God called Elisha in a town full of enemies of good things. Men and women who have no time to think of progress. Men and women that have never been creative in their life concerning God. They found that there was a man full of the Holy Ghost and power. And the Bible said they sent chariots of horses and men. And they surrounded the whole city for one man. How will you love to hear this? That when we close service today, the other 49 branches in town gather together at the ring road, join all the juju owners in this town, and join all the court men in this country, waiting for you at the ring road to kill you. How many will look for tambourine? Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. That is easy for you to sing when someone else is in trouble. When you are him and face to face, behold death, behold your enemy. When you hear of your enemy, you are not too much afraid. But when your enemy is visible, it is then you prove whether you know God or not. night they met and they took counsel and said, we are going to handle the man of God. We are going to catch him. We are going to kill him. My Bible said they surrounded the city. Unfortunately, the first man to see them was an unbelieving believer. Did you hear me? He was a man who had been expecting bad news. A young man who was training to go out and become a preacher, but whose heart was, if it's all right, I'll be there, but if it's bad, I go back. Early in the morning, he woke up and went to urinate. Those of you cannot wait until day dawn. It's what you will see when you come out. The enemies are always many around your house. He came out. As he opened the door, he heard a heavy noise of marching boots. Soldiers were positioning themselves. I believe his manhood went to the stomach. As he opened the door and saw the whole town surrounded and their compound surrounded, he shouted and said, alas! Alas! How shall we do? Panicking is an abnormal state of mind when you ought to be sound. Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And many times the things that panic you and cause you panic are not worth it. When the apostle said, Master, carest thou not, or we perish? The Bible said Jesus stood up. In everything that will challenge your life, God will be present. Everything that will frighten your life, God will be present. But woe to the man, woe to the woman that shall panic at the sound of the voice of the devil. It were better you were not born than to be born and you panic when the enemy make noise. Elisha came out at the sound of his servant's voice. If it were some of you that were told, the enemies have surrounded your house and your town for your sake, you'll be looking for emergency caterpillar to give you borehole under your carpet. I've seen some men, they hear the knock of a thief, they lock themselves to wardrobe. And when the thief finish packing what they have in the room, they open wardrobe to take the clothes and hit their head with hammer. What stops you from saying, who are you there? In the name of Jesus, pack and go. A friend of mine was caught in Washington, D.C. He was building a church. And he asked bank to give him loan. And they gave him $20,000 loan. While he was talking with the manager, a thief was in the office with the manager too, asking for a loan. And the manager said, when are you going to pay this amount? And he said, if you give us 3 months, we'll pay it back. And the manager said, approved. The manager asked that thief to wait. He was soon talk to him. He said, no, I'm on my way out. as soon as he heard that that pastor's 20,000 loan was approved, he went to wait. And that pastor told the manager to go and collect the money from the counter and meet him in his office, load it in his briefcase and go. The thief was aware of all these things. The manager went to the counter, collected the $20,000, brought it to the pastor, opened the briefcase, put it inside. And as soon as he was coming to enter his car, the thief landed him merciless thunderbolt lightning slap. Took the briefcase from him and decided to start to run to his own car, the thief. And the servant of God said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, return my briefcase here. Bring it. Bring that briefcase here in Jesus' name. The thief turned around, ran to him, knelt down, say, I beg you, have your briefcase. The pastor collected his briefcase and the 20,000, opened his car, put the briefcase, took his card out, gave to the thief, and today the thief is an elder in the church. It's not hard to panic, but it takes faith and believe in yourself and believe in God to believe that your property do not belong to the devil. Your life do not belong to the devil. Somebody shout hallelujah. Elisha didn't look for where to vanish and what door to take and exit himself. See how he answered. And he answered and said, verse 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. One single question this morning. God and the devil, who is bigger? God and the devil, who is more powerful? Your God and your enemy, who is more powerful? Your problem and your God, who is more powerful? Your trouble and God, who is more powerful? I'm not hearing you. Circumstances and God, which is more powerful? Sickness and God, who is more powerful? Your need and God, which is more powerful? Finally, you and God, who is more powerful? Huh? You and God, who is more powerful? Last of all, in whose hand is your life? Is your life in God's hand? Nothing will go wrong when you are going right. Your eyes are too small. I have the eye of faith. God is with us. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Somebody say amen. That servant was seen like any other natural woman or natural man. The eye of faith do not see naturally. That is why it's called the eye of faith. The eye of faith sees beyond human comprehension. The eye of faith sees beyond what ordinarily anybody can see. The eye of faith sees troubles and sees God above that trouble. Elisha said, don't be afraid. God is in control. Not only that, before the enemy troops arrive, God's troops were already standing here. How many can say amen to their life? Do you believe that God is standing by you? Do you believe that God is on your side?
By faith, I say, what God is to you, the enemy cannot be able to be that.
And he said, Lord God, I pray you now, this young man that only sees circumstances, let him see you. Open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. Somebody who went to urinate and saw soldiers, was he blind? But somebody who ought to bring good news that brought bad news, can he see? Are you with me today? Even though you say you are not blind, whenever you see with negative eyes, you are blind. And you need something, you need prayer. Elisha said, this young man needs prayer. It is more difficult the time you would have spent in praying for unbelievers to be spending it in praying for Christians. The time you would have spent in casting out devils, you spend it in dealing with Christians who don't have God, who don't have ways of believing God in solving their problems. As one of our teachers said in the Sunday school, if the pastors were allowed to solve the problem of the church alone without Christians adding their problem to unbelievers' problem outside, the job of the pastors would have been reduced. How about that? When you are fasting and praying, facing Ogun, facing Isango, facing Owegbe, facing Ring Road God, facing Ogbonis, facing the Amok members, facing the witch doctors and the native doctors, and the people that are supposed to be saints in the church, present their own problems to you. May God open your eyes today. Elisha prayed, Lord, open their eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. I thank God that the Bible said, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, fire about them. Somebody shout hallelujah. There are only two things I want to explain here, and I will say three things, and I will sit down. One, the enemy's troops were below. The devil is not the most high God. The devil is still below, and God is still on high. Our God is the most high God. Don't panic. When your health is threatened, don't panic. When your job is threatened, don't panic. When your bed is starting, don't panic. When you have no money, don't panic. When your life is in jeopardy, don't panic. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The enemy soldiers surrounded the town on ground level. Elisha's soldiers from God were on the mountains. They were looking down. And the eye of faith looks down to the meanness and the small size. Many times, as we watch the growth of this ministry, and sometimes I come across panicking states. I remind myself that there are 365 thou shalt not be afraid in the Bible. 365 times it's written in the Bible, fear not. At least one tablet a day. How many days in the year? There are 365 times in the Bible. Fear not. So when I wake up in the morning, I shall not be afraid today. When you come with your negative thinking, an evil imagination, and say the whole mountain is crumbling, the enemies are very close, oh, something disastrous want to happen, I know you didn't swallow the tablet I swallowed in the morning. I don't repeat it in the evening. For when evening comes, he shall give his angels charge over me. How many can say amen? There are some of you the devil has given unnecessary fear today. There are many of you that are confused in your mind. When God raised me for this ministry, he told me, in my time, his glory shall cover the earth as the water cover the sea. And I believe the devil will never rear his head while I'm alive. He may try. But if native doctors can come to a coconut tree in the morning and with water in their mouth and they take fell in their hand and they said to Ogun and said to Anomila, wake up! Wake up! Wake up! The God in me will arise. And I will say to myself, fear thou not. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What are you confused about? What has the enemy sent to you as a message of negative thinking? The ministry is God's ministry. The work is God's work. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And you are his church. Do you believe in prayer? The Bible says Elisha prayed. It's a simple thing Elisha did. And that's what you ought to do when situation of panic comes. Not to look for two or three. If Elisha has said, are there any Christians in the town? The enemies are here. The devil would have known how weak Elisha was. Do you hear what I'm saying? If they have come and said, Dickness Olaimi, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Go and tell Stella. Go and tell your sister Stella. The enemies have arrived. Tell Hannah. Tell them the enemies are around. Oh. The commander of the enemy's troop would have just said, keep your bullets. The man we wanted to fire has killed himself already. Listen to me. When the enemy shall come like a flood, when the enemy shall come in, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise a standard against him. Somebody say amen. The work of God cannot be destroyed by any man. Pharaoh couldn't do it. Herod couldn't do it. The Egyptian magician couldn't do it. Your enemy of today cannot do it. You are God's property, and the Christ in you can never give you crisis. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Finally, in the book of Numbers, we are told how God spoke to Moses, Numbers 20, verse 7 to 13. Smooth the rock once. And in a panicking state, Moses smote the rock twice. The result of the panicking state of Moses is found in verse 12. The Lord said, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. When you panic, you are at a loss. When you panic, you fail. God told me at this altar, November 9, 1975, there shall nothing frighten you, and nothing shall touch your skin. For I, the Lord thy God, have given you a stony face. You have heard all the stories before. Last year, the World Conference of Witches and Wizards were going to hold in Benin here. I stood at this altar. It cannot be. Today it is not. Ogbonis said in this town, the gospel of Jesus shall not advance. Today, Ogbonis' house is broken down, and Jesus' house is growing more and more. 5 years ago, it was said, every Jew in this kingdom shall rise again. I'm glad that Bahama Grass is doing his job today. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What are you afraid of? It's not worth it. If this work be of God, if your life be of God, the power of darkness shall not put you down. Moses panicked. He could not enter the promised land. Thank you, my brother. In the book of 1 Samuel 13, 8 to 14, Saul panicked and did not wait for Samuel as instructed and offered burnt offering as a priest. Saul was not the priest. God told him to wait. His own priest will come and offer the sacrifice. Saul refused to wait. The result is found in verse 14 of 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. The Lord said unto him, thy kingdom shall not continue. God chose another man to be king of Israel. When you panic, you lose. In John chapter 18, Peter panicked and denied Jesus Christ 3 times. First time in John 18:17. Second time, John 18:25. Third time, John 18:27. He panicked and denied Jesus. You can panic, and all the faith you have ever taught in your life will fly away as if you have never believed before. It is easy to tell people who are passing through trial, God is going to intervene. I know God will do it. Oh, yes, the Lord will truly do it. But it's better for you to say to yourself, my God will do it for me. How many know that there's an area at all in their life that they are confused and they don't know what to do? Stand up. If there's any area in your life you are panicking, you are afraid, you are confused, you don't know what to do, and you want God to solve it without even telling you, stand up. I will know liars in this church today. How many know that there's something in their life they want God to do without involving them, and they want perfect peace from the bottom of their heart? Stand. Those who are standing, come forward. And you at home, I'm going to ask God to intervene for you. Shall we lift our hands before God, all of us? Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. Oh.
all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
Father, I pray, instill confidence and install power of God.
The same authority you gave Elisha to believe that nothing was wrong when a national army left Syria to come to surround where he was,
give us that courage and confidence
to look out and see beyond human heads, on top of our heads, hosts of chariots and horses,
standing guard, standing by on our behalf. Jesus, for the man afraid, for the woman afraid, for the one panicking, peace in Jesus' name. Peace in Jesus' name.
From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, the spirit of fear, come out. Doubt, come out. Unbelief, come out. Stubborn spirit, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. I said, come out.
Enter no more. Let there be peace. Let there be rest. With a blessed assurance that Christ is in you and that he is the hope of glory. Raise your hands and give him thanks. The spirit of fear and doubt has gone. And God is in your life and is in control.
Just strive to do better. Psalm 84 verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God made me in his image. God made me his likeness. No good thing, every good and perfect gift come from God, in whom there's no shadow of turning. No good thing will God withhold from the man, from the woman that believed that Jesus died, rose again, now is at the right hand of the Father. Paul said, when he died, we died with him. When he rose, we rose with him. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. And Jesus will not come back until we make his enemy his footstool. You think Jesus is coming for the church that is he complaining about painted mouth, painted leg, painted eye, painted nose? You were called to this seminar to find out who you are, that you are made in the image and likeness of God. Somebody say hallelujah. You are no more inferior. You are no more a child of who are you. You are no more Mr. Nobody. If Jesus is dwelling in you, the power that controls heaven and earth is inside you. Then John chapter 15 verse 5 said, I am the branch of God. Every value to this time. Jesus said, I am the vine. And my father is the husbandman. And ye are the branches. Oh, the fruit of the tree is born by the branch. The flower of the tree is born by the branch. And I am the branch of God to exhibit the glory of God and the beauty of God. Jesus is no more coming down by himself in the flesh to cast out devil. He has given me authority and power to command sickness to come out, to command blind eyes to be open, to command deaf ears to be unstopped, and to speak faith, life, courage. If there's anything that this nation needs today, is a message of peace, is a message of courage, is a message of concern and care. And God cares. Look at your palm, the two. Look at your hand. Open your palms. Say with me, God, open your eyes. Look at me first. Don't close your eyes in this prayer. Just look at your palm. Watch and pray. Say after me, God, I give to you my whole life. God, I give to you my heart, my body, my soul, my spirit. Now, Lord God, look at these hands. Look at these hands. You made it in your image, in your likeness. I appreciate the good work you wrought in my life. And now, Lord, behold these hands. I command your blessings, your power, your anointing, your healing virtue. In these hands, I claim healing powers, prospering power, blessed powers. In Jesus' name, I command that by these hands, I will cast out devil. I will heal the sick. I will raise the dead. In Jesus' name, these hands shall handle the works of righteousness. These hands shall handle surplus money for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I stamp out poverty. I stamp out backslidden power. The spirit of lack. The spirit of poverty. The spirit of want. Out of my hand. Go. In Jesus' name, go. And Lord God, I receive from you now prosperity, blessings, abundance to your honor, to your glory. In Jesus' name, I believe, I receive right now prosperity, progress, abundance. They are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.